love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. In the, the intermission of a lot of windshield time, I was out in Meridian on Wednesday, as you guys know, had an abbreviated show. I don't know if we go to full 90 today, but we'll go more than an hour. But nevertheless, I was in Meridian. I want to thank everybody that came out to the Bulldog Shop on Wednesday. And if you couldn't make it to the MSU Bulldog Shop downtown Meridian on Wednesday, there are signed copies of most of my books there. Certainly copies of The Dude, signed copies of The Dude. Everywhere I go, I leave signed copies behind me. So for those of you that couldn't make it, great day there. And then a long but very big day yesterday on Thursday at Mistletoe Marketplace down at Jackson's Trademark. And so if you missed me, they got a few cases of signed books too. And so that'll last them throughout the weekend. Of course, I was with the folks at College Corner. Great people. Great, great people. Really enjoyed getting a chance to visit with them a little bit. And some of you came out. Some of you Boneyard listeners came out. A lot of nice things to say. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. But really, really good couple days. And so as soon as I finish up with you guys, I stopped in Starkville last night to spend the night in my own bed, get some changes of clothes, and then we'll leave here in a little while, headed to Clarksville, Tennessee, to watch Jaron and Bartlett High School take on Kirkwood in a playoff game. And we'll have full coverage of that late tonight when I get to the hotel. And then we'll head over to Knoxville. And then we got to rush back in the wee hours of the night on Saturday. So I will be at the author event, the Christmas open house on Sunday at Book Martin Cafe downtown. And so if you're going to be in Starkville, kind of enjoying that, you can come out. And it's not just me, Marshall Ramsey, Wyatt Waters, so many others are going to be there. I think it's 10 of us, I think. And it's one of my favorite days of the year because there are a lot of people that I don't get to see very often that are from my line of work, and it's nice to be able to kind of catch up. Wyatt Waters is a friend of mine. I love Wyatt. Love him like a brother, man. And he's got that pulled back white hair with the ponytail and the Chuck Taylors on. You know, an incredible artist. But he'll be in town, and look forward to visiting with Marshall Ramsey. A lot of good folks in my line of work. And so this is a chance for us to kind of get together because it's busy. You know, it gets busy this time of year. And I love having a new book out. And last segment of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about America and a little bit about Mississippi and kind of where things stand. And you're not going to be political about that, but I just want to share my love and appreciation for all involved. It's a busy day. It's a busy stretch for me. And we'll be right back at it next week. Of course, it's an open date next week for Mississippi State, which maybe is a good thing. Give us a chance to kind of get some people back. But, we may get some people back this week that we hadn't had the last couple of weeks. We'll talk about that as we get into the show. But wherever you are today, I hope that you're doing well. And I hope that you and your family are far away from harm. And I know it's been a difficult week for some. It's been a rejoiceful week for many others. But the reality of it is that we all live together as neighbors. Every one of us. And that doesn't mean we're always going to get along. That doesn't mean we're always going to like each other. That doesn't mean everybody's going to like you. Yeah, but that's part of life. And one of the things that I wanted to say before we get too deep into the jug, it's one of those things, man, it just absolutely amazes me. It shouldn't, but it does. And when I see journalists, and I say journalists, that's being kind, because many of them are basically advocates. And the better part of journalism is to be unbiased, right? I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, and listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I can always speak objectively about Ole Miss because I'm a Mississippi State guy. I mean, I understand that. And one of the best compliments I ever got was from an Ole Miss fan when they read Flim Flam and said, I read the first 10 chapters and thought an Ole Miss guy wrote it. You know, I tried to be as objective as a Mississippi State guy can be, right? But I never, when things got tough, you know, when I had a lot of people that were, lobbing some personal insults at me, you know, because of my coverage of Ole Miss's demise and that sort of stuff, I didn't go get off Twitter. I didn't do it. You know, my thing is if you're going to be provocative and you're going to write stories that you feel are of importance and you're going to write stories that are going to elicit emotional reactions from your readers, you have to be willing to face the fire, good, bad, or indifferent, even if those people are completely wrong in their criticism. You don't go get off Twitter. And I've seen some of that from some Mississippi reporters, and that they call themselves journalists, and I don't know what they, you know, what their educational background looks like. But let me tell you this. If you, as a quote-unquote journalist, have to take a sabbatical from Twitter over an election, then you need to find a new line of work. Because you're not a journalist. You're an activist. And I have had some of these discussions with people in my own profession, you know, sports journalists, people that I consider friends and colleagues. And I've said, hey, your readers should never know who you vote for. It's not their business. But not only that, nobody follows you on Twitter to hear your political commentary. We can get that anywhere. You know, we can go out there to MSNBC or Fox News or Newsmax or whatever. We can go out there and find people that will generate political content and commentary for us. I don't go to them for sports. And if you search my Twitter followers, you won't see that I follow many people in the political commentary world because I don't need it. It's not what I'm looking for. Like, you don't listen to this show to hear me give you recipes. And maybe you should. Maybe we'll do a segment one year, hear Grandma's Recipes, right? Sponsored by whoever, you know. But the reality of it is the chances of all of us getting together at a bar and having a drink and everybody getting along at the end of the night is pretty slim, right? I mean, Mississippi State is what unifies us, you know. And even in that, there are, you know, portions of our fan base that are somewhat splintered, you know, because we can't always agree. And that's always been the case, you know. Probably, I think about this. I had this discussion with a friend recently. We were talking about when have we seen Mississippi State fans really unified? I said, well, you know, during the DAC years, pretty much, you know, but I remember some comments. I remember we were number one in the country and undefeated, and people were still critical, you know, because it's in the DNA of some of our fan base, right? I mean, we're so incredibly self-loathing at times. And then, of course, when we win the NAFL championship in college baseball, that's probably the closest to unification I've ever seen. Everybody just kind of let their differences kind of slide away. And then I would say, too, for the most part, like when in the pursuit of the Ole Miss and free stuff with me, I had more support then than at any point. Yeah, you know, because people were like, hey, you know, we need a hero, and Steve's willing to step up and do this. And, of course, I took Ole Miss before the State Ethics Commission on a case that went all the way to the State Supreme Court, and we won. Right? I mean, so those things are important. But listen, I'm not going to go out here and begin these, you know, pursuits of that kind of stuff just because of the fact that I think it'll help everybody get along better. But, but Mississippi State, we want to see Mississippi State succeed. And we all may disagree on how, you know, the steps it take to get there. But that's the reality of life. None of us has the corner of the market on good ideas. And that's political, that's athletically, that's religious type stuff. I mean, there's a reason there are Second Baptist churches, right? It's because when everybody congregated together at the First Baptist Church, some people got upset and said, we'll just start our own church. That's how it happens. There's a reason Martin Luther, you know, tacked the 95 Theses on the door of the Catholic Church. You know, even in every organization, there's going to be dissenting opinions. And sometimes those people are correct. But other times, you got to be mature enough and graceful enough to understand, you know what, maybe I'm wrong. And that's one of the things that long-term recovery in maybe middle age has taught me. I got to give myself room to be wrong. Because we get so ego-driven at times. There's no way I could be wrong about this. And then I look back one day, I think, I was an idiot. I was wrong. How did I fall for this? And so it's important to allow yourself the freedom to be wrong. And to be able to admit that, even if you can't admit it to another person, which I always think is a very big thing. It's like it never happens on message board culture. And when it does, it's like, hey, thanks for being a mature adult about this, you know. But there are a lot of people out there that we get so caught up in the tribalism of the world that we want to always appeal to our tribe rather than to appeal to a broader spectrum. And I think that's where real leadership comes from. That's why I think a guy like Zach Selman, you know, he has got to have, you know, a vision that we can all share, right? It's important. We all have to have a vision. And, you know, it's like no matter what we do, you know, if we could come up with the grandest master plan in the history of college athletics, and we would have some people complain about it, right? Because we have some people, and there's a large percentage of us within this group. I'm not, you know, singling out any particular group or whatever. But there are some things that are more important to individuals, right? If you are a soccer parent, you know, you probably would like, you know, some nicer amenities for your player. If you're a soccer alum, you probably want those things too. It's like, hey, I'd like to see this program continue to thrive. If you're a baseball player or a baseball family or a baseball fan, you think, you know, hey, Steve, I'd like to see some general admission seating at Duty Noble Field. You know, I can't get to a game but a couple times a year because of my schedule. You know, maybe my kids play travel team ball and I'd like to bring them on a Wednesday night. Just me and my boys get together and go to a game. And there's nowhere for me to sit. I understand it. Then there are people on the football side. It's like, hey, you know, Steve, hey, we need to modernize our game day experience. And I agree. And then there are people on the basketball side. It's like, hey, we need to allocate more resources for basketball. Right? So your chosen sport of choice is going to always take priority. And, you know, we got some people out there that think we spend too much money on baseball. And there are some people that think we don't spend enough. And there are people that think, hey, that we shouldn't do anything for these non-revenue producing sports, that we should just do the bare minimum. You know, we did that for decades, and where did that get us? I mean, how many of you have enjoyed the last few years to see our women's basketball program thrive and compete among the national elite? And this year, we've had so many new soccer fans, right? That's an important aspect of this thing too, right? There, you got some new favorites you don't know about. And many of you, you cheer for the logo. You don't cheer for a sport, right? It's Mississippi State that's competing, and I am a Mississippi State person, and I'm going to support our student athletes, right? And so we got to understand that. We're not all going to get what we want, and that's okay. I wish we could do everything. I do. I wish we could say, you know what, hey, here's where we are. Let's go get this thing done. Right. And then 5 years from now, you know, somebody's going to surpass what we did. You know, there's always this arms race, you know, but, you know, I think it's important to understand that no matter what happens in life, that I'm not going to change the world. You know, and what is it? Garth Brooks that said, you know, I'm not going to change the world. I'm just not going to let the world change me. Yeah, I know you can't find his music on Apple Music. You know, I wonder how that's been a detriment to his career at all. I mean, honestly, I mean, I know he's made his money, but you understand my point. How many people don't listen to Garth Brooks now because it's not accessible on the streaming platforms? I'd say a lot. You're not running out buying that CD anymore, are you? No. But all that understood, you know, I think it's important for us to maintain some equilibrium here and understand that we all want the same things, and there's going to have to be compromises in order to get those things done. All right, let's take our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. You don't have to compromise anything when you go there. You don't have to compromise. You say, hey, Steve, I'm going to trade good food for, you know, maybe a less than ideal atmosphere. Everything there is great. Great food, great prices, great service, great atmosphere, great menu, great selection, and a lot of times great company. So if you're looking for a night out or a day out with friends or family, choose Bulldog Burger Company. There's a lot of unknowns in life, right? Don't take chances with meals. How many times do you get out of town and he's like, hey, let's go try a little place over there, and you walk away and say, this isn't a do-over. Yeah, Bulldog Burger Company is always a do-over because they do it right. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Find your own favorites. And again, if you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company and you're in the mood for a burger, and chances you are because you chose Bulldog Burger Company, I'm going to go with the Bulldog. I'm going to recommend that. It's a good straight-ahead rock and roll American hamburger. And then maybe on your subsequent visits, maybe change it up a little bit. But, you know, if your person likes to walk on the wild side, maybe get the Mission. Maybe get the Good Morning Burger. A lot of great items to choose from. And maybe you're not feeling a burger. Maybe the kids are. Have that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. But I always get it with ranch dressing because I'm from South Mississippi. And that's in the Ten Commandments of being from the 601 area code. There you go. Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you, as we mentioned. University Drive here in Starkville. Gloucester Street in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive. And you never know when the next one may be coming out. You never know. Could be coming to your town. Bulldog Burger Company. The place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. A little less serious stuff. Let's jump on to our weekend picks. We'll jump right into this. Florida is at Texas. And, of course, big news out of Gainesville yesterday is Scott Strickland releases a statement that Billy Napier is going to be around. Now, I suspect a lot of that is recruiting. You put it out now. Maybe you've already made the decision that, hey, we're going to keep Billy, but you don't wait to the end of the year. You got to do it now because, guys, signing day is less than a month. So you go ahead and do it now to kind of let your recruits know, hey, you know, Coach Napier's going to be here. He's going to get next year. And we think next year is going to be a better year. See, that's why you don't wait until, you know, the week before signing day. So it's kind of a political move in that respect, but it makes good sense if the decision has been made to communicate that now. Because you don't want Napier and those guys to be having a recruit with that black cloud hanging over their head. So I think that's the case. And if Billy Napier isn't fired, you begin to kind of ask yourself, are we going to have a very quiet offseason in the SEC this year? Will we not have any coaching changes this year in the SEC? That's a real question. It's true. Has Sam Pittman done enough to stay at Arkansas? You know, maybe. But you start thinking now there's a case to be made to keep him and a case to be made to move away from him. And of course, they have a dreadful November. The calls to fire him will be immense. But with Napier now safe, the only guy we're really looking at is Pittman. So that could be kind of an unprecedented situation. Been a long time since we've had a year where there were no changes, no coaching changes in the Southeastern Conference. And so it could be a very quiet offseason, which I am in favor of. Not that I'm a fan of the status quo, but I think it's important to have some stability. But Florida's at Texas. Texas currently ranked number 5. Guys, they're favored by 22.5. And there's a part of me that I would say, you know what, those kids are going to come out and play hard for Napier, and they're probably going to cover. And then you find out that DJ Lagway is still questionable. And so if Florida has to play a third-team quarterback, I think Texas is going to run those guys off the field. But this game could prove to be a little more competitive than the line suggests, but we're going to pick Texas to win. And I did pick Texas to cover, too, because of the uncertainty around DJ Lagway. But, you know, we'll see how things go. We don't have any choice. But, you know, the SEC availability report is interesting to me. But I just think when you look at where Florida is and where Texas is right now, it's not really comparable. You know, Texas is really, really heading the right direction. And, this Florida list for the availability report is pretty significant. It is. And they've got a handful of guys questionable, too. I'm sure Lagway will try to give it a go. But, we're going to take the Longhorns here in that matchup. Georgia at Ole Miss. And you'll get to watch this game before our game. Georgia at Ole Miss. Arguably, biggest home game that Ole Miss has had in 10 years. You know, maybe that Alabama game in 15, you know, when Chad Kelly just threw that ball up for grabs and it gets tipped and ran in for a touchdown and Ole Miss beats Alabama back-to-back years. I think the Alabama win in 2015 is more significant than 14. You say, but Steve, I don't understand. Well, Alabama had a whole year to circle that game on the calendar, and Ole Miss won anyway. Think about that. Yeah, in Tuscaloosa. You know, I think it's the more impressive win. And we talk about what a great year that 2014 was for college football in the state of Mississippi. But I think winning in 14 was big. But to do it again the next year in Tuscaloosa, and you know Nick Saban and those guys were saying, when Ole Miss comes in here, we're going to put up 70. You know it. And I think Ole Miss got Alabama's best shot, and they still won the game. But Georgia going into Ole Miss, and it may rain. You know, it's like, maybe. We'll see. Some people have talked about that, but I'm not a weatherman, so maybe your local meteorologist can apprise you of that. I don't have the Ole Miss weather saved on my phone. You know, I have Starkville, my location, and then where all my kids live. I don't have Oxford on there. I'm sure some other people maybe, you know. It's like the big joke every time it snows up there and people say, well, hell froze over, you know. But the Georgia-Ole Miss series, you know, kind of like ours with Georgia. They haven't played a ton. They've played 36 times. Georgia has 33 wins, 12 losses, and a tie. And I don't know if you followed this at all, but last year when Ole Miss went to Georgia and there were some people out there, some of which have no business in our profession and their lights have been dimmed a bit in recent years. You can do the math there. Georgia beats Ole Miss 52-17 last year. And that avenged the loss from 7 years previously when Ole Miss destroyed Georgia 45-14 back in 16. Maybe you've forgotten about that. Guys, that was the first Ole Miss win over Georgia since 1996. That's how long it's been. Now, they haven't played again. It's kind of like us, this new schedule rotation. You know, you go 7 years without playing, and then you play them back-to-back years. And so Kirby's got the guys rolling, and I'm going to take Georgia. I do think it'll be an interesting game. And a very astute Twitter follower kind of pointed out something yesterday to me. We talked about how Ole Miss has been very extensive in their availability report, and I think they're just being really thorough. And they said, no, they're just laying the groundwork for their fake injuries. It's like, hey, well, he was injured. Well, he was on our availability report. You know, he was on our injury report as being questionable. You know, he was banged up going into the game, you know. And maybe that's true. I don't know. I don't know if I can get on board with that or not. But it is rather interesting. But Ole Miss with some significant players, a little bit banged up here. Running back Matt Jones is doubtful. Trey Harris, doubtful. Jordan Watkins, questionable. Caden Lee, questionable. A couple guys on the offensive line, questionable. But, yeah, it's pretty much going to be the same team. But, you know, wide receiver room's a little bit beat up. But, yeah, it's going to be a big ball game. And that's why you come to the Southeastern Conference, is to play meaningful football in the month of November. And so, but we're going to take the Georgia Bulldogs just because I think maybe it's a bias on my part. But I think, you know, with an Ole Miss loss, they're not currently in the top 12 for the playoff. This will eliminate any discussion about that. And I'm here for the melt. I mean, I don't know if you guys are. That'll be one of my funnest things to do on Sunday, you know, is should Georgia win the ballgame and Ole Miss have their third loss and essentially be eliminated from playoff contention. And it's amazing that that's what our season's been reduced to, right? I mean, rooting against them, which we're going to root against them at all times, but there'll be a lot of Bulldog fans that'd be happy to see that, you know, to see Ole Miss lose after they've gone all in financially and emotionally. But
at Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Georgia, 2.5-point road favorite, and we're going to take Georgia Bulldogs. I don't think the game is going to be a 2.5-point game. I think Georgia probably wins a couple scores, maybe 10 points or so. All right, South Carolina's at Vanderbilt. This is one of those weird games, man. Like, South Carolina is favored by 5.5 in Nashville. Have we not learned anything about Vanderbilt this year? The guys are bowl eligible. And beginning of the year, me and several other people said, you know what, this may be the end of the Clark Lea era. And then here we are now, South Carolina and Vandy getting together, and we're a little bit offended, maybe, that South Carolina is favored in Nashville. And, of course, South Carolina and Shane Beamer destroyed Texas A&M last week. Absolutely punched them in the mouth. And now you got to go to Vanderbilt that has proven to be really good defensively. And I don't know if they get enough credit for that. Clark Lea has that unit playing well. I'm going to go with Vanderbilt in the home upset here. Against South Carolina, I never know from week to week what they're going to do. Very unpredictable. But I think it's going to be difficult. I think, you know, the 10,000 Vanderbilt fans that will be there will be excited for this ball game. And I think Vanderbilt probably has circled this one. It's like, hey, this is a chance for us not to only make a ball game, but to put ourselves in a pretty good position to maybe get out of Nashville for a trip. Of course, Mississippi State's in Tennessee. Here's my thoughts about that. We're going to lose the game. My hope is that we cover. But here's the thing. I'm so sick and tired of that, right? It's like, well, we covered. Yeah, that didn't get me to a bowl game. Well, you know, Steve, they covered. That's not going to help me on a recruiting trail. But, Steve, they covered. I'm not a gambler, okay? Not on college sports. But it'll be interesting to, you know, Tennessee wants to run the football. We have had some success at times running the football. Tennessee's been very good against the run. I think the main thing for us, you know, to even have a shot at this ball game, we got to get into the half within a score or with the lead. I don't expect us to win this ball game. And listen, I know that Jeff Levy and Josh Heupel go back a ways. And you got to wonder, you know, does that factor in late the ball game? You know, does Josh Heupel say, you know, we probably could score here late and put it away and blow these guys out, run the score up? And maybe he doesn't do that. But I look forward to a day when we get in the car and head over to Knoxville, Tennessee, and we feel optimistic about winning the football game. Of course, we felt that way in 19, and Joe Moorhead and his crew let us down. I think more to the point, Joe let us down. But but nevertheless, I don't like football season right now is being endured rather than enjoyed, right? I mean, there are many people I know within our fan base who are like, Steve, I'm just ready for the season to be over. And let's get into the portal. Let's get excited about that, about getting some new players in and kind of flipping this roster and kind of adding to what we've had, shoring up some deficiencies. So we don't go in week to week hoping to cover. We go in expecting to win. And I feel that way too. I mean, it's like it's such a drain on all of us that are invested in Mississippi State Athletics when football is not good. When you get ready on Monday, and you think, you know what? I'm so glad this next week is an open date, right? Like this past Monday was great, right? Because you won the game against UMass, and yes, you were expected to win the game, but you guys got a little peace going to church on Sunday, right? You didn't have to listen to, you know, your Ole Miss guys or whatever, your Alabama fans kind of goad you a little bit because at least you won, right? And so now all of a sudden you're getting ready to go to Tennessee. You're expected to lose, and then next week will be an open date. And I'm sure there are going to be some State fans on Monday. It's like, you know what? That's over with. I don't have to deal with it this week. We can't lose this week. I can just kind of sit around and enjoy college football. But better days are coming. I am not in any way jumping off the Jeff Labby bandwagon. I absolutely believe Jeff is going to win and win big here at Mississippi State. But I'm just so ready for that to happen. You know what I'm saying? And I understand sometimes, you know, you got to walk through the valley to enjoy the view from the top of the mountain. I understand that aspect of it too, but I am so ready for Mississippi State, not just to be good at football, to be really good at football. I want Ole Miss fans hating us again. You know, I mean, beyond the normal hate, right? I want them to be invested that Mississippi State football is must-see TV so they can hate watch us like we hate watch them. So, yeah, I'm somewhat envious, even though, yeah, their season hasn't gone the way they had hoped. And we're looking for the kill shot this weekend. I'm looking forward to the shoe being on the other foot. And I want people to be scared to play Mississippi State. I want people to say, you know what, I'm a little worried about this Mississippi State team. You know, I'm, as a guy that lives his life on message boards and social media, I haven't seen any of that this week. You know, it's true. You know, when we played Arkansas, there were some of those people kind of concerned too, you know, because Jaquindon was out. You're like, you know what, this on the road, Mississippi State's getting better. And that's really the first time I've seen that this year. And an SEC foe saying, you know, I'm a little bit worried about the game. I want people to be worried about the game when they play Mississippi State. We're not there yet, and I look forward to getting back to that point. Alabama-LSU, it's always one of the best games of the year. And I knew from people within the league, whenever they start talking about the schedule rotation, the Alabama-LSU rivalry was going to remain intact, because outside of the national championship game, I think for the last 5 years, the most watched regular season game in the country is Alabama-LSU. Not just in the SEC, in the country. So there's a lot of eyeballs, which means there's a lot of money involved in advertising. And so it makes money for ESPN. It makes money for the SEC. So no, we're not going to, you know, reinstate the Alabama-Vanderbilt annual opponent deal. We're going to keep Alabama-LSU. Good move by the league, because we get a great game that we can watch every year that we don't have an emotional investment in. That's an important aspect of this thing too. We love college football. We want to see great games. We want to see great teams play each other. We want to see meaningful football in November. Alabama 11, LSU 15. I think this is about where most people expect them to be. We thought Alabama would take a bit of a step back. And, of course, LSU losing, you know, you don't lose a Heisman Trophy quarterback and get better. But I think LSU is kind of that team that's kind of laying in the reeds a little bit. Of course, they beat Ole Miss for us, and we appreciate them for that. But this will be an interesting game. And 2 weeks ago, I thought LSU might just run through Alabama. And now that Alabama coming off the bye week and everything, I don't know that it's the case. And I'm going to pick Alabama. I know Alabama is a road favorite. And that's the, you know, Brian Kelly shouldn't have to say anything. They don't respect you guys. They got Alabama coming in here expected to win in your stadium. It's a night game, 6:30. Of course, many of you will be flipping back and forth. That could be a great game. So maybe DVR that and watch us live on ESPN. But, yeah, this is a national-level game, and there's a reason it's on ABC. Every TV set in America can get this ball game because people want to see great teams play. Oklahoma at Missouri, not a great team, but, you know, a great program against kind of an up-and-comer here, a solid program with Missouri. I think everybody is, you know, our expectations for these two teams is probably being realized. I mean, Oklahoma, I think we said beginning of the year, I thought they'd be 7-5 or so. And then, you know, Missouri, we knew they'd come back to earth. But, you know, it's hard to really argue against what Eli Drinkwitz has done up there. And, of course, now they're out there starting quarterback. And you start thinking, you know, maybe we can get those guys when they come in here. They can run the football a little bit too. But it would be nice if we could find a way, you know, to get Mizzou, you know, get a couple wins in November. Make you feel like, hey, we are kind of getting better, and it's not just about progress; it's about production. But you know, Oklahoma, of course, you know, they fire Seth Luttrell, and many of our fans wanted him to be our offensive coordinator, and he takes a job as an analyst at Oklahoma, and then after Levy leaves, he's promoted from within to be the OC, and it hadn't worked out. And so they came out, and of course they played Maine last week, but you know, it'll be interesting on the road to Como. But I'm taking Missouri in this game. At home, I just don't know what to expect from Oklahoma. That's a bit of a toss-up game. And let's be honest, outside of the fans at Oklahoma and Missouri and maybe a few Texas haters, nobody cares about this game. It's true. There's a lot of good games that are going to be on. Should be a great day of college football, and I would love for us to be a big part of that. I like chaos when we're the ones causing it. I don't like to have chaos around us when we're expected to win. And going back to that Toledo game, that was a harbinger of things to come. You know, we all knew it. You lose that ball game, and you start thinking, man, we should be 3-0 hosting Florida. We weren't. We still hadn't got to 3 wins. If you told me that beginning of the year, I'd have been a little bit surprised. But looking at the SEC standings right now, you know, Georgia and Texas A&M are on top at 5-1. Of course, Texas A&M hosts Texas later in the year. The Volunteers, our opponent this week, 4-1. Texas LSU, 3-1. And then there's Vanderbilt, tied with Ole Miss. A rivalry that refuses to go away. Wouldn't it be something if Vanderbilt finished ahead of Ole Miss in the SEC standings? And, of course, by proxy, they finish ahead of us, too. Alabama 3-2, South Carolina, Arkansas both 3-3, Missouri 2-2, the Florida Gators 2-3, Oklahoma 1-4 and 5-4 overall. Auburn's now 1-5 and 3-6. One more loss for Auburn, they're missing a bowl game, which I expect that to happen. Yeah, Kentucky 1-6, 3-6, now one loss away from not being bowl eligible. And of course Mississippi State at the bottom. 0-5, 2-7. Find a way to get a couple wins down the stretch, though. You know, maybe you can get out of the cellar. But, you know, people picked us next to last, and we didn't laugh at it, but we said, yeah, maybe we're not that bad. Well, it turns out we are. And I hate it. And I hate it for Jeff Lebby and these players. You know how hard they're working. And I can tell you, Jeff was optimistic before the season. I don't think Jeff expected to go to the Sugar Bowl by any stretch. But, you know, I know Jeff was confident in his team. And then, of course, you have the unexpected injury to Blake Shapen, which is always a bad thing. You never expect that. You know, you always have to prepare for it. But you never expect to lose your starting quarterback. But the good thing is Michael Van Buren was here, as Chris Parson. But what's going to be interesting, too, is how many people make overtures at Michael Van Buren at year's end, right? I've already heard, you know, there's some people out there that are going to make a run at him. You know, I've heard Florida State mentioned in connection with that possibility. And so, you know, this is the life and times in which we live now. And so my firm belief if Michael Van Buren stays here, and at this point, I believe he will, it's going to be because of his relationship with Jeff Lebby and his teammates. But, it could get interesting. It could. It really could. You know, we'll see how things go. But that's how I see the weekend. Again, kind of give you a quick recap here of who I think the winners are. And, let's get rich, kids. Texas, I think Texas wins. I think Georgia wins on the road. I think Vanderbilt wins at home in a bit of an upset. I think Tennessee wins. I think Alabama wins on the road. And I think Missouri wins. And it's going to be interesting to kind of see how things kind of, you know, break out with Mizzou. This quarterback situation is kind of interesting. Kind of in a situation we are, too. I mean, you just can't be who you really want to be, you know, when your quarterback's banged up. And again, I think we're probably in a better situation because we have Mike than maybe even Missouri is. But, we'll see how things progress. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair's phone number, 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. And so here's the deal. If you're looking for your first home, your next home, or potentially your retirement home, maybe that game day condo eventually becomes your future residence, Blair is the name to turn to. Mississippi State Bulldog through and through, has a place here in town. He's a season ticket holder in multiple sports. He rides the wave of emotion just like you do. I believe in keeping business in the family whenever we can. This is a chance for you to do it. And not just because Blair's a bulldog, right? That's always a bonus. But Blair's got 23 years of experience in the mortgage lending industry. He knows how to construct loans in a way that they are more likely to be approved than not. And so there are some other people out there that are vying for your business. And you know what? Get his experience working for you. You know, top 1% close ratio in the country 3 straight years. And there's a reason for that. That's why the website's called Close with Blair. Close your loan with Blair. And if you're out there looking around, get that pre-qualification letter. You know, before you go get on Zillow and you start dreaming and hoping of how amazing this would be, you don't need to try to buy a home outside of your means. Chances are you may not get approved. But even if you do, you don't want to lay awake at night not being able to enjoy a quality of life because you're a little bit over-mortgaged. Blair can help you make good decisions and give you that pre-qualification letter that'll get your real estate agent in overdrive. And we have some amazing real estate agents here in the state of Mississippi. Blair also can get jobs done for you out of state too. So if you're a Boneyard listener and you live out of state, chances are Blair is licensed to practice in your state too. So throw some business his way and take a lot of the sting and stress and anxiety out of the mortgage lending process by, you know, giving that burden to an expert. Blair Chandler at Close with Blair. Com. All right, so it's been an interesting week in our country, and you know, we talked about this on Wednesday. You know, it's not the extremists that decide elections; it's the moderates, and most of those people, you know, we talk about, you know, being patriots and that sort of stuff, and that's kind of taken a name of its own, a life of its own on social media. But I love being an American. And we're going to talk about a little of that later in the show. But I thought, you know what, let's have a patriotic top 10 today. Because even with our differences, yeah, there's some common ground, right? And, you know, again, my dad worked for the federal government for 33 years. And with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And the thing that he was always big on is, you know, the federal government's most important job is the defense of its citizens. And that's not just military. Of course, that takes on a lot of different, you know, a lot of different hats. But it's the defense of its citizens. And there are some people, of course, that vote with that in mind. You know, hey, I'm a military person. I believe in national defense, national security. But that's their job, is to protect us, right? And we should elect people that we believe do the best job to protect us. And I mean locally, state level, federal, whatever, regionally. You know, we need people that are going to protect our citizens. And again, that could be the FDA. You know, that could be rules and regulations, governing commerce and things like that. So it's an oversimplification of that. But I want each of you to be safe. And I don't care who you voted for. And I hope you voted. There's some of you that didn't vote. And that's your right too. You have the right not to vote in this country. You're not obligated to vote. I respect that too, right? There's just some, you know, I vote in every election, everything. When we vote for the county supervisor, I'll be there in line, you know, there to vote. I feel a personal sense of obligation. There are people that went and fought and died for my right and ability to have a vote and have a say in how our government is run. And in my opinion, it would be disrespectful of me not to go exercise my right to vote. And so I'm not going to sit here and tell you how I voted. Not going to sit here and tell you how I feel. Some of you may think you know, but you don't know. But the reality of it is this, is I love our country. And I remember, you know, growing up as a child of the Cold War, we always saw Russia as superior to us. We did. We thought, hey, they're more organized. They're better equipped, you know, and there's so many of us that we live this way, but it's like, you know, there always has to be a hero and there has to be a villain. And if you go back and you look at those movies from the 80s, I mean, you know, it's like you go back and look at Rocky IV and all that, you know, it's always the big bad Russian, right? Seen to be indestructible, unbeatable. And then things begin to change. We begin to have problems in the Middle East. And then like in the 90s, all of our villains internationally were all, you know, from the Middle East. You know, it's funny how that works. You know, art imitates life. But I have always been proud to be an American. And I have so incredibly grateful that this is how life worked out, right? That I had the opportunity to live and work and operate in a free country. And there have been a lot of elections that didn't go my way and a bunch that did. You know, you hear my picks on these college football things. I don't always pick the winners, but I pick what makes sense to me. And I will never tell anybody else how to vote. And I think that's one of the things that I think is a little bit offensive to me. You know, I don't get offended very easily, but it's one of those things. I'm like, you know, who are you? You know, because I follow you on Twitter, I'm supposed to adopt your politics, you know. And there are a lot of people out there whose music that I love that are politics that I don't. But I also love and respect them enough that I can enjoy their music without thinking that, you know what, I can't listen to them because they don't align with my political views. I think life is too short and death is too certain to have such a myopic view of life. But we need to unify. And so here is my top 10 songs for America. Top 10 songs for America. All right, number 10, it's William Hung's. No, it's not. It's not. I'm just joking around. Probably the only kind of negative song here, because listen, we have to admit we've got some problems in America. We do. And we can't just sit here and just wrap ourselves up in the Star-Spangled Banner of the Nile and say everything is great. It's not. things are not great. And people say, well, I've never seen the country more divided. I hear that every election. It's true. And I think social media is kind of a signal in that direction, too, because basically what it's done is it's enabled people to kind of find kinship with one another. And I think that's a great thing, no matter what you believe. When you find other people that share your beliefs, it could be a very good thing. It's also, too, there are some people that are kind of indoctrinated, too, on the lunatic fringe of both sides of the political spectrum that kind of weaponize social media. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, hey, well, I want to be like them too. I want to get more followers, so I'm going to be even more provocative. And I got some friends on Facebook that I'm about ready to call in a wellness check on. I believe they're alive. I don't believe they're alive and well, because some of the things that I've seen on social media, it makes me concerned about them. I don't make that jokingly. It makes me concerned. This person is not doing well. Now, do I think they're going to harm themselves? No. But here's the thing, too. I want people to have quality of life. Except, man, again, there's just so many things in life to feel good about, right? No matter who's in the White House or who's in the outhouse. You know, I've got to live my life. And I hate to see my friends that are struggling. And it's so funny, too, because so many people, their social media identity has moved from being, you know, my friend that posts pictures of their kids and, you know, their new home and their vacations, and to everything is all these political memes. And let me just tell you this, and I think I speak for all of America when I say this. You can post all the memes that you want to. I'm going to vote how I want to. Your memes are not going to encourage me or discourage me either way. I'm not that simple-minded that I'm scrolling through there and all of a sudden, well, if you'd vote for this person, you know, number one, it's not your business who I vote for, the reasonings that I use to make that vote, but also, of course, too, I just want to be friends. I don't need your political ideology. I'm smart enough, I can figure these things out for myself. I'm a grown man, right? And so, and maybe that's a lesson learned for some of our social media folks, is that all those memes that you posted and all the hateful things that you wrote didn't change anything. It didn't change anything. I mean, and everybody that follows you, like that are going to vote for the other candidate, they're going to stop following you, right? So you're just kind of speaking into an echo chamber. Let's be good people. But number 10, it's Neil Young's Rockin' in the Free World. And I love the live version with Pearl Jam. Love it, man. But yeah, it's not necessarily a patriotic song, but I think it kind of, you know, paints the truth at times about life in America. Number 9, and the rest of these are kind of sappy, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's Neil Diamond. It's America. One of my favorite parts of this is that we watch Big Bang Theory reruns a lot. My wife loves them, and I do too. They're a laugh a minute for me, but it's when Amy and Howard are out on the scavenger hunt. You remember this one? You know, Raj had the scavenger hunt thing. And they figure out that they both love Neil Diamond, and they're riding along singing America. They come to America. And I remember being a kid thinking, you know what? America's a special place. And I still believe that to be the case. But I remember this song. You know, we'd have morning radio, right? We put it on, we'd get ready for school, and all of a sudden this song came out, and it was like, oh my gosh, they're singing a song about America. Because we saw ourselves as underdogs. We really did. We were a young country, and we kind of saw ourselves as, you know what? You know, we're just not as good. We're not as organized. And this was a song that kind of stirred up some patriotism in me. Even though I'm not a big Neil Diamond fan, you know, but when I was a kid, when this song came out, it was everywhere. Number 8, and this is a cover, but I had to include this one because I think it's the best rendition of this song that's ever been recorded. And it's Ray Charles doing America the Beautiful. There is an authenticity in the voice of Ray Charles that I think just fits with the lyrical content. I mean, his delivery of this song, to me, stokes up some passion for our country. Number 7, this is an old one, and man, people still sing it. I remember being a kid learning this song in like elementary school, and we'd get up there and sing it like as a choir at the assembly for the, you know, the big patriotism thing that we do, the play at school. It was so great. It's Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land. And it was made for you and me. And there's enough room in this land for all of us to disagree. I think that's the thing that we lose at times. We think everybody's got to, if they don't agree with me, they have to be wrong. Again, I've got to allow myself the opportunity to be wrong and give myself some grace and say, you know what? I read this thing wrong. Yeah, I had the wrong feeling. Life experience changes you too. There's some very important issues that we talk about politically. There are some values that I held in my 20s that I don't hold today. Your life changes you. There are things that change in your life that become more important to you. When I became a father, there was this primal sense of fatherhood that I'd never experienced. And what I mean by that is like, okay, I love Dana. I do. I love Dana. I would die for Dana. If they lined us up today and said, okay, one of the two of you's got to go, okay, I'll go, right? I'll go. And she says she would do the same. I don't know. But anyway, sometimes I would wonder if I'm, you know, leaving her to a more miserable existence, if they're lining up people and shooting us. But nevertheless, but when we had a child, of course, we lost our first one. And so maybe I loved Ani a little bit more than just the first child would be because I wanted him so bad. And I wrote When the Bottom Falls. I called him one day after writing that chapter in tears. And I said, I just want you to know how much that you were wanted, you know, how much that you were expected in our family. And he made me a better person. But I tell you, I was, I felt this new power, I guess you could say. And I began to, you know, think, like if things go wrong and something would ever happen to my child or somebody tried to harm my child, I would kill them. I'd never really had that thought before. You know, it's like, hey, if I got a friend and somebody jumps on him, I'm going to break up the fight. But if somebody hurt my child, I would kill them. And that's how it felt. And it's like I'd never felt those feelings before. And Audrey brought this up. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie with Hugh Jackman, Prisoners. I love that movie. I love Terrence Howard. Love Hugh Jackman. And the movie Prisoners is great. And very uncomfortable movie. But Audrey said one day, she said, if anything ever happened to one of us, Daddy would be like the guy in Prisoners. And I said, no, sweetheart, that would feel like a high school homecoming pep rally compared to what I would do to somebody that hurt my children. And I think most of you feel the same way, you know, and maybe we don't have it within us to really, you know, get down to it. But if it became a matter of life and death with some perpetrator at my child, I'm not going to ask any questions. And it's true. But there's a big part of that I think, you know, as you mature, there is that level of chiefdom, maybe, when you think about your own tribe. All right, number six, we talked about Songs for America. How about Song for America from Kansas? It's an instrumental, but man, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful track. Number five, he won a Grammy for this. And we touched on it earlier, Rocky IV. When Apollo Creed was coming to the ring to fight the exhibition, you know, it's James Brown's Living in America. And man, that became like an MTV classic, and we loved it. And again, you know, you had the big Russian, right? Ivan Drago, right? It's like, oh my gosh, you know, he's indestructible. And then, of course, Rocky beat him. I think in real life, Apollo Creed would have won. We lost Apollo in recent years. You hate that. All right, number four. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. This may have kind of been the start of Americana, really, when it came to the music industry. And it's Don McLean's American Pie. Of course, it's really a song about, you know, American, about music and things of that nature, but it kind of fits, you know. Number three, I know some of you don't like his politics, and again, I don't listen to music for politics, even though I did love Rage Against the Machine. I love the fact they were political because I was becoming political at the time, and I guess in some respects, Rage Against the Machine maybe radicalized me for a while. But it's Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, and again, I was alive when this album came out. What an amazing year in music, right? And again, we needed this, you know, because we didn't have a sense of ourselves as an American people. And we really kind of came of age in the 80s. And again, it was a lot of this, you know, this Bruce Springsteen album, Born in the USA, was part of it. You know, it's like, you know, I'm an American. I'm not going to make any excuses for it. And of course, there's some people out there that feel like we're being arrogant out there. But, you know, we're part of the greatest country that's ever existed. Not to say we don't have problems. But when you look about when great things happen in this world, more times than not, there's America involved. Number two, one of my favorite John Cougar songs. And I know John's hair is a mess these days, but I remember this one too, these feelings of nostalgia. It's John Cougar. Of course, John was instrumental in Farm Aid. And you guys know that I come from a farming family. And I have so much respect for our American farmers, our Mississippi farmers. My dad spent 33 years of his life for the advancement of the farmers in the state of Mississippi. And that's not lost on me. I know every time I go to the Delta and I sign books and, you know, it's like, hey, well, so-and-so's getting a crop in. Can you sign one for him too? Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do it. But John Cougar's Pink Houses. True. Number one. And could it be anything else? And I remember when this song came out too, it was all these songs about America, you know, maybe our top, you know, five or six. All these songs came out around the same time. And it was when America was finding its stride a bit. It's Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. And it's probably one of those songs today that we need more than ever, right? No matter how you feel, no matter what your political investment is or your affiliation, at the end of the day, we're all living a shared experience. And the things that I want for me in my life, I want you to have in your life. I do. And that was one of the first things that I learned in recovery, because I was so incredibly bitter and hateful and resentful. And all these people that I got down, I got arrested, and there were a bunch of people that should have been down with me that weren't, but I took my lick. I was resentful. And there was one guy in particular who started dating my girlfriend. You know, it was one of those things, man, that was so incredibly angry about life. And I had a sponsor. He told me, he goes, you know, every day I want you to pray for that guy. And I was like, you're out of your mind. He said, every day I want you to pray for that guy until you mean it. And so I would do it, and it was probably the only begrudging prayers, if I can get it out, that I ever prayed in my life. I didn't mean it. And I sat there, I was like, God, I want to be happy, I want to have this, I want to have, you know, a career, I want to get an education, blah, blah, blah. And I want so-and-so to have those things too. Whatever's wrong in his life, I want you to fix it. And that exercise changed me as a person. It truly did. Because I began to realize that the only person feeling the burn of that resentment was me. It was eating me up inside. And if anything, the guy probably got a little glee satisfaction of knowing that he got to me. But it changed me. And so when I think about our people, and maybe we all need to get on our knees and make these prayers today and pray for the people that we were resentful of. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, we need to be hoping for the best for our nation, no matter who's in the White House, no matter your political affiliation, no matter what hot button issues or your passion. At the end of the day, this is a shared experience, and we're all neighbors and part of the same experience. And I'll tell you this, you know, you remember we talked about this on the show, and I had so many people that messaged me, so many people, after the 9/11 show, and we talked about that. Do you remember when the buildings came down and America was under attack? You know, it didn't matter if we voted for the elephants or we voted for the donkeys. It didn't make any difference. The terrorists were no respecter of persons or political party. And there will come a time that something like that will happen again, God forbid. But at some point, America is going to be in crisis again. And we're going to need each other. I mean, how many times do you remember coming to Mississippi State games that year? Do you recall that? And gas was in short supply. And sometimes they'd cap you at $20, $30 maybe at certain gas stations. And that wasn't enough to get to Starkville. So you'd have to like, hey, hopefully I can get some gas in Louisville. And you get up there, and it's your fellow Bulldogs and your fellow neighbors and your Americans, and everybody just kind of orderly went through this and said, hey, this is what we got to deal with, you know? There weren't these fights at the gas station. It's like, hey, this is what life is right now, right? And that's kind of how we are right now. We got a lot of problems in this country. We don't need to make them worse with all the infighting. And my hope is we can kind of put that behind us for a while. I know midterms elections will be here in 2 years, and then, you know, we'll have another presidential election in 2028, and then all of my unhinged friends will get out there and share all these memes out there like that the election depends on them. But I love all of you, and I want you and your family to have a great holiday season, no matter which holidays that you celebrate. And I want you to have the people that you love around you as often as you can have them around you. And I want you to be well in business. I want you to be happy in your marriage, your relationship. I want all those things for you. I'm not so insulated that I think that, you know, that I'm just the main character and everybody else is, you know, a cameo role in the experience of Steve. I depend on you. You depend on me. I think it's a great thing. And not just in Starkville or Mississippi, but in the United States and the world, we depend on each other, even when we're in disagreement. And I think that's important. So I think it's time for us to unite as Americans, and let's move forward, because I mean, we face an uncertain future. There's a lot of dangers in the world these days. Who would have ever thought we'd live through a global pandemic together? And sadly, a lot of our people didn't, you know. It's true. But nobody's going to care. The next time something bad happens, who you voted for, what bumper sticker you had on your car. They're not going to care what hashtag you used. They're going to care, you know, are you a good human or not? You know, good people die in bad events too. You know, it's important to understand. But, you know, elections sometimes can be, you know, a divisive situation in our country. But this is behind us for a while. So my hope is that we can put some of our differences apart for a while and just kind of pull in one direction, and we'll see how things go. All right, next message brought to you, next segment brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I love going in there and imagining what all that stuff would look like in my house, in my closet, on my shoulders, right? And that's kind of how it is. When you get around new Mississippi State clothing, you think, man, I need a new quarter zip. I could use a new polo for Christmas, right? It's, you know, you think about those things and you think, man, I want to have the freshest and nicest gear. You can get it at Campus Bookmart. Make it to town, go see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. I get a hug every time I go in there. Maybe you don't, but I don't think it's just reserved for me. You never know. Quality service with a smile. Love Miss Kathy Brown. Love that whole group. They do a lot of amazing things to outfit our family with Mississippi State merchandise, whether it be clothing, whether it be knick-knack items, gift ideas, diploma frames, everything that you need for the Bulldogs on your Christmas list can be found at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, we did not get a good result in the SEC semifinals of the soccer tournament. Bulldogs beat 3-0. We had not allowed more than one opponent to score multiple goals in the year, and that was in our loss to Wake Forest. We got drilled last night 3-0. It was scoreless at the half, and then they score kind of a scramble drill, give them credit. Really good shot there. We probably should have played a little better defensively there. But next thing you know, there's another goal right behind it. Make it 2-0, and then we give up a PK late. So the Bulldogs eliminated from the SEC tournament. I felt like going into the tournament, we needed to win one and then get home and rest. Of course, I would like to win, right? But not at the expense of next week. I think now we get a chance to come home, rest, recoup. There is a bigger prize for Mississippi State than the SEC Tournament Championship. Of course, we win the SEC and then lose to the number 4 seed in the tournament, South Carolina, which is also a tournament team. So we shouldn't have a big negative impact on our RPI. Now, they're going to reveal the NCAA tournament bracket on Monday. So we'll find out. We'll be hosting. How long we host depends on how well we play and how well we're seeded. Remember last year we had a chance to host, and then we go on the road and end up at Stanford. And at no point in that game against Stanford did I ever think that we looked outclassed. We just couldn't get a breakthrough there. But that's kind of how things sit today. But, yeah, it's always disappointing. I mean, you hate to lose, right? no matter the circumstances, you hate to lose, especially when you make an emotional investment in this. And for many of you, it's your first time. Texas upset Arkansas in double overtime. So it's going to be Texas and South Carolina on Sunday for the championship. I think it's a good thing, too, with Arkansas losing, because they're kind of right there with us in RPI. So, congratulations to Texas as they get ready to play for a tournament championship against South Carolina. I don't care who wins the game. But I believe we have done enough to be a one seed throughout this tournament. And I think that we will have the opportunity to play some games here in Starkville. And they had not announced yet if we're going to have a media opportunity on Monday. I suspect that we will, especially with Mississippi State in an open date. So we won't have Jeff Lebby on Monday. I don't think we don't normally have a regular Monday press conference before an open date, but there are times that we get coached throughout the week. They haven't communicated what the schedule is going to be. We're going to get through the weekend with Knoxville and Tennessee first. They'll set a schedule on Sunday. But I suspect that we'll do something media-related on Monday with soccer to kind of spell it out, how this thing is going to work. And you guys that are new fans of soccer, I know it's, there's not as much scoring maybe that you'd like, but it's a beautiful game. And we appreciate your support and hope that you'll come out and be a part of this when we host. And again, kind of pulling this up here just so you guys know, the bracket, the official 2024 bracket, will be out Monday. And just kind of working through all this stuff. It's just the fact that we're sitting here thinking about this, that Mississippi State could potentially host all the way until the Final Four and have a chance to compete for the College Cup. Yeah, we're not defined by that one game last night. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say we went out there and dogged it, but we have our eyes on a bigger prize. So 3 o'clock on Monday is the selection show, and you can stream that on NCAA.com. And then first round games begin a week from today. So November 15th, 16th, and 17th. And then we turn around and play second and third rounds on Friday and Sunday. And then there's the national quarterfinals Friday and Saturday, November 29th and 30th, and then the Women's College Cup, the semifinals, of course, the Final Four, Friday, December 6th, and then a national championship game December 9th. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing to be involved with that? You wouldn't want to get the cart before the horse, but go ahead and begin to make some plans for that weekend, that first round weekend, November 15th, 16th, or 17th. We find out on Monday when and who we play. And so it'd be nice to have you guys here to be a part of that. Yeah, super cool, right? So again, may not be an open weekend for you after all, right? And for those of you that are used to coming to Starkville, maybe you've got a condo here, maybe you've got a place here, and maybe you're in the habit of coming to Starkville on weekends, and it's like, you know what, I love getting up there. And we got to do some Christmas shopping up there and buy some Mississippi State gear when we're in town. Come on back up here, especially if you got a place or if you live within a reasonable driving distance, and come support the Bulldogs in the first round. And then we'll see how things go. But it could be a very historic postseason in what has been a very historic regular season for Mississippi State. Of course, regular season is over, and now our SEC tournament is over. And so now we kind of look ahead to what's next, which is going to be the NCAA tournament. All right, Sam Purcell and the Bulldogs got off to a good start last night. I had some people on my way back from I was exhausted last night, I'm not going to lie. Not that I was worried about making it home, but once I made it home, I was very grateful to go get into bed with the missus and get under the covers, and I think it took me probably 2 minutes to go to sleep. Pretty incredible night's sleep, too. Had to get right up and get to work for you guys before we hit the road to Clarksville, Tennessee, on our way to Knoxville. But so I didn't get a chance to watch the game last night. But your Bulldogs open the season with a 100-56 win over Memphis. And Bulldogs pretty much kind of took charge in that first period, led by 10, and then added that lead there in the second period. And it's 36-25 at the break. And then in the second half, it was all Bulldogs. put up 34 points in the third quarter. When you put up 34 points in a quarter, chances are whether you're ahead or you're behind, you're going to be in good position after that. And then even in the fourth, when Sam called the dogs off, State outscored Memphis by 18 points. And again, 100-56. Looking at the box score here. And again, we're getting to know this team, right? I mean, there's a lot of new faces. And they were a big part, obviously, of our performance last night. But Aniyah Russell, 25 minutes of action, 26 points to lead the Bulldogs. And in turn, lead all scorers last night. And then DeBree Chapeau, you know, we know what she brings to the table. She is a nice piece for us, 16 points for her. Medina Okot with 14 points. That's a new face for us. Denham DeShields comes in and puts in 9 for us. Jakalia Jordan, it's so crazy. You win a game this substantially, and you only get 2 points from her, and you know they're going to be games that she just kind of takes over. Destiny McFall, another newcomer with 11 points last night. Chandler Prattler with 9. Pretty significant. You know, great game to number one, get the win, but to get playing time for a lot of players, and all but one of them scored a basket. Yeah, you talk about a happy locker room. You talk about a happy practice session today or a film session. Everybody gets a chance to go watch themselves make a positive contribution on the floor. That's great. And so a great start for Mississippi State. And again, we don't have Jessica Carter, you know, and so it's going to be a different dynamic for us, you know, making things happen. But, big win. Congratulations to Coach Purcell and the Bulldogs. And we look ahead now. You know, it should be, you know, a good first month of the season for us. You know, not a lot of games you look at and say, hey, this is going to be a really tough one here. But back in action on Sunday against Alcorn State. Should be another bloodletting. Should be. And then we get Alabama State on Wednesday and then Chattanooga. UT Chet the Mox will come to State on November 17th. And then we'll go Mercer. We'll be here on the 20th. And then we finally take the show on the road for the first time this year. We'll head down to the WBCA Showcase in Orlando, Florida to take on Jacksonville. Have no idea what the Dolphins have this year, but just based on conference prestige, that should be us. But, should be a good month for us. If you're in Starkville tonight, and hopefully you are, because Mississippi State men's basketball, back in action too. And as we discussed on our show on late Monday, you know, the Bulldogs with a 95-60 win over West Georgia. And again, there were some anxious moments towards the end of that first half, I guess, when they cut it to 3. But, you know, Bulldogs take care of business. And again, in the second half, perimeter shooting made all the difference. Georgia State tonight, tip-off from Humphrey Coliseum, named after former Mississippi State President Duke Humphrey. 6:30 tip. You can check it out on the ESPN app. That's on the SEC Network Plus. But Georgia State, you know, it should be a game that we, you know, take care of. But I don't know if you've done your advanced scouting of these guys or not. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But they win their exhibition 100-88 over, was it UC Santa Barbara? No, pardon me. U.S. South Carolina at Beaufort. I was sitting there thinking, why in the world would they come all the way across the country for an exhibition? But the first game of the year was against Ball State, and they win that game by 5, 71-66. So, yeah, we certainly expect Mississippi State to win this game. But, this, again, a team that's kind of finding a sense of itself. A lot of new pieces. And I'm not going to sit here and say we lost a lot. We did lose some pieces, but I think it's a situation where there may be some addition by subtraction, too. And again, you know, I thought Riley Kugel would be more of an offensive threat for us in game one. He hadn't been, but he is going to have his days in a Bulldog uniform. And the thing that excites me so much when I see Clary and these guys that maybe didn't have the initial offensive surge that we were expecting, you know they're going to come out looking to get going tonight, right? I mean, it's when you look at what – you know, what Hubbard and Harris did, you start thinking, we're just really kind of scratching the surface of the potential of this team. You know, again, still got some concerns in the post, and that's not to be negative. It's just, you know, we have been spoiled in many respects with Tolu, even though there were times that Tolu had his moments when things we couldn't run offense through him, maybe as regular as we'd like to. But, Tolu's been a great player for us. And so replacing him is going to require, you know, a big commitment. And so we just don't know what we have there yet. I think we're going to be okay there. And I think one of the things that helps us, too, is there's not a lot of dominant big men in a conference this year. So I think a lot of people are kind of similarly situated as us when it comes to playing the five. So I don't think it's going to be a deficit. But I'm eager to see somebody kind of step up and be that guy, you know. But sometimes really all you need, you know, is when you can shoot it as well as we think we're going to be able to shoot it, you need a rebounder and a guy that can kind of clean up the trash there in the paint. And maybe we have that. But that's just kind of something to monitor and watch as we kind of get over, you know, what's next with this season. But again, I think them picking us 10th was probably a good thing. And what I mean by that is I think Chris Jans can use that as motivation the entire year. It's like, hey, they don't respect us. Let's go prove them wrong. Let's go show them who we are. I think we're better. I think we're definitely in the top half of this league. Are we going to contend for a conference championship? I'm not expecting that. But I do think we are a tournament team. And I think that there are going to be some people that are going to be really pleased with our guard play. And again, the emergence of guys like Clary and Harris, I think make life so much easier for Josh Hubbard. You know, you're not going to be able to sag defense to Hubbard all the time because I think now he's going to be in some one-on-one matchups. And you guys know Josh Hubbard is just more than a long-range shooter. How many times last year did he beat a guy off the dribble and, you know, make a great run to the basket and deliver? So when we get in these man-to-man matchups, and you have to acknowledge the fact that Claudio Harris and those guys can beat you as well, you can ill afford to leave those guys open when you've got a great passer like Josh Hubbard. And so I think we are a more complete team in that respect. And we'll see how things go in the post. But Chris Jans knows what he's doing. And it's going to be, you know, one of those things, too, that I'm going to encourage people to get out and go to Humphrey Coliseum. One of the things that we had a chance to talk to, Zach recently, one of the things we mentioned is, we have no chance at a record crowd for the hump, because of all the renovations. But the reality of that is this. Even though we may not have some people hanging from the rafters, that can be an electric atmosphere. And I want to commend our students again for the great job they did in a season opener. And look at Chris Jans, too. Like, I saw the video, too, of Chris out there handing out snacks and stuff before the ball game. I mean, it's incredible, right? I mean, I retweeted the video. It's like, that's my coach right there. That's a thing. It makes him everybody's coach, right? When you see him out there, the students are lining up to go in there to create an atmosphere, and there's coach out there passing out snacks to some of these kids. We have had some men's basketball teams in the past that really haven't been likable. And what I mean by that is we had some guys at times that, would have good moments and then wouldn't have good moments. And, at times you'd feel like that you weren't really connected with the team. You know, it's one of the things that made the Vic Schaefer experience so special is that, after road games, our players would go up into the stands and thank our fans for being there. We'd have a home game, and every little girl and every little guy that wanted to get a picture made with Victoria Vivians or Tierra McCowan got to do that. You got a chance to meet Blair Schaefer and get an autograph. And so it was easy to root for those teams. And so when I see Chris Jans doing this, I see the same level of connection in many respects, right? I mean, it's a different dynamic these days, but this is a likable team. And one of the things that I respect Josh Hubbard so much for is all these people on social media, back in March were like, Josh Hubbard's going to go in the portal. He's going to be a Wildcat. He's going to do this, going to do that. Josh Hubbard let everybody know right out of the gate that he was coming back. And one of the reasons that he gave is he didn't want to put you all through that. He didn't want you worried about him. He wanted to be a drawing card for Chris Jans and his staff as they go out and recruited portal players and say, hey, you can come out here and play with Josh Hubbard. We already have this, elite long-range threat, one of the best players in the Southeastern Conference, and we're going to kind of build an offense around him. We think you're it. And so it tells me, number one, what a great young man Josh is, but also a great teammate and a great piece for Coach Chris Jans. So come be a part of it. And listen, I get it. There's some football fatigue. I understand. And it's like you get in the car and, it's like thinking, man, I want to come support the team because I love them, but, man, I don't want to lose I don't think you're going to see many games lost at Humphrey Coliseum this year. So a lot of times that's a day trip for you too. You can come up and grab some lunch and go by and get some campus bookmark merch. Go to the game and get home same day. You know, so it's not the same financial commitment that it is sometimes for a football or a baseball weekend. And so I'm going to encourage you to come out and be a part of that. Dave Murray and Jacob Bain will be providing coverage all season long for us on the men's and women's side. Jacob and I are headed to Knoxville. I think he's leaving out today too. So Murray will have the men's basketball coverage for us tonight. And we encourage you, of course, to come be a part of our organization over jeanspage.com. And even if you can't afford to be a subscriber, you know, we make all of our big room and our game content free. And so if you're looking for coverage, you don't have to wait for some, you know, some national person to just go reprint a media relations release. We're going to have a story. And, you know, we get out and go to games, you know, because we can go ask questions of a coach and a player and kind of get an understanding of kind of where things are and how this happened, what happened on this play. You don't get that by sitting at home on your lazy boy with your laptop in your lap calling yourself a journalist. That just doesn't work. And so we're going to get out and go. And eager to get to Knoxville, for sure. Again, it won't be too long now. I'll be packing a bag and hitting the road to kind of get all that done. About a five-hour drive to where I'm headed. And again, we'll spend a night, head over to Knoxville, and cover the Bulldogs, and then race on back to Starkville, and we'll do it all again next week. You know, always something to cover. And we love what we do, and we take a lot of pride in everything that we produce for you guys. Because we do it for you. It's not about us having a great byline. It's us trying to be your eyes and ears and deliver information about the players and teams and coaches you care about. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. I'm going to be staying there myself here in about 5 weeks, 6 weeks, I guess. Bringing everybody in, have all the kids under one roof, and I can already smell the cinnamon rolls from here. Because I know when I wake up that morning that Dana's going to have those spring rolls ready. She may bake them in that full-service kitchen. It'll probably be a long night of game playing, too. Get the Robertson kids together and just have a great time. Hey, you can have those same good times, too. Not with my family, but your own family or your own friends. And you can stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It's the old renovated clubhouse at the old country club, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So whether it's a ball game weekend or just maybe a getaway weekend, I mean, maybe a getaway week thing. I mean, you think you get kids are out of school during the fall, and maybe mom's got to do some shopping. Maybe take a couple days and just kind of get away and come enjoy your favorite city. Yeah, Stark Vegas Clubhouse can take care of that for you. You know, how cool would it be for all your friends, right, or all of the you know, the couples in your family? Get everybody together. Get the cousins together. And then you guys can sit around and maybe watch some basketball. Or head over to Humphrey Coliseum, watch basketball, and maybe mom, all the moms can go out and do a little Christmas shopping here in Starkville and pick you up some Mississippi State merch. That sounds like a great idea. Why don't you plan that? Don't wait for somebody else to say, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't you take the leadership within your family and friend group and say, hey, guys, we're going to book the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, 5 bedrooms, 2 bath, kind of off the beaten path a little bit. We'll have some privacy, some peace and quiet. Got that fire pit area outside. We can all sit around there and make s'mores. Great. Got the wet bar out there if we want to enjoy an adult beverage. What could be better than that? And so if you're looking to bring a large group to Starkville, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page is going to come up, and you can look through the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. And you can also see some booking options. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO. It's completely up to you. But if you want to save some money on your stay, and I suspect you do, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10, BSR10, the number 10, to get 10% off your stay. That's just by being a listener to this show. You can save some money at the best venue in the region, whether it's a work group, a friend group, a family group. It's a great time for you to book a stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, I thought about this yesterday, and again, maybe I've been a little bit melancholy this week, but, you know, the book signings and things like that, I get out and I get a chance to reconnect with so many of you and connect with many of you for the first time, and as I was driving from Meridian, you know, I stopped there in Morton, gas station, you know, sometimes you just got to get out and stretch your legs, top off the tank, get a couple snacks, you know, and it hit me. How much I love living in Mississippi. And I had some people come up and say hello to me. You know, I don't go that way very often. You know, usually if I'm headed to Jackson or Canton, I'm coming down 55. But, you know, come along 20 there. And you know, had a chance to, when I was in Meridian, I always go to Weidman's when I'm there. Always. And it's I got to pay my respects to Shorty and Gloria McWilliams. And if you don't know the story, of course, Shorty was Shorty was the first Mississippi State football player to ever receive votes for the Heisman Trophy. And you can read about Shorty extensively in The Dude. He was a guy, obviously, that left us and joined the Army and was at the West Point Academy, and then they didn't want to let him go. And we had to do some political wrangling to kind of get him back home. And Shorty married Miss Gloria, and I had an opportunity to interview Miss Gloria before she passed away. And she was such a sweet lady. And at the time, I didn't know Shorty passed away. I hadn't done my research, you know. And we're talking 20 years ago now. And he was in the phone book. And so I called and asked to speak to him. And she said, well, you know, I hate to tell you this, but Shorty passed away a few years ago, but I'm his wife. What I do? And I explained to her what I wanted to do. And we spoke for a while. And she was so great. And at the end of the conversation, she said, sweetheart, will you do me a favor? And I said, sure, Miss Corey, anything. She said, will you call me back one day so we can talk about my Shorty again? And I remember that, how sweet she was. And then when we inducted Shorty McWilliams into the Ring of Honor, his daughters were there. And I got to go meet them and tell them, hey, I had a chance to interview your mom. And I can't remember the daughter's name, but she, her eyes just lit up. She goes, oh my gosh, she talked about that interview and that story for years and years and years. And so as a result, I've always felt a bit of a connection with them. And so when I go to Meridian, I have to go to Weidman's. I have to. It would be disrespectful to the memory of Shorty and Gloria McWilliams not to. So I go in there and get my quesadilla of the day and everything. And again, I hit the road after that. And you may not know this too, but you know, Shorty kind of gave up on pro football to come home and help Gloria run the family business, run Weidman's restaurant. You know, says a lot about him as a man, a husband, as a father. It really does. You know, we know about the football exploits and things of that nature, but to kind of get to know people is very important. But as I'm driving along there, and you know, I'm coming through Morton, and I end up taking Highway 43 and coming through Canton, and then shooting across there to go stay with my agent. And as I'm riding down 43, you know, there's this like tapestry of timber. You know, you don't hardly get any phone service there, but it's just so beautiful. It's amazing. And then I go to Mistletoe, and get a chance to meet a lot of your wives too. You know, under good circumstances, right? And to see the joy on their faces is like, hey, I'm buying this book for my husband. He's going to love it. And I see the smile on their face as I write your name and make it a little more personal, you know. You know, to Bob, Barry, Richard, whoever, you know, Isaac. And I write those things. And it reminds me how connected we all are. I mean, it truly does. And I lived in Louisiana for a long time. And even then I was a Mississippian. You know what I'm saying? I just happened to live there, but I was a Mississippi guy. But I had breakfast again this morning with a Bulldog legend, and we had a chance to kind of talk about some of those things, and I had to deliver him a copy of his book. He was a bit of a contributor. One of the first interviews I did, I sat down with him, and he knew duty a little bit too, but I just kind of wanted to know the temperature of things, you know? So I bring him his book today. We sit down, we're talking about, you know, that this university, you know, it's built, you know, we had, you know, obviously a lot of people from Jackson and Biloxi and, you know, Tupelo and places like that, but Hattiesburg. When you think about, you know, our legacy, you know, we got people from, you know, from Possum Neck and Bug Tussle and places like that. I mean, parts unknown and incorporated communities around the state of Mississippi that have made Mississippi State great. And there's a reason when people come here, they say the people of Mississippi State are unlike anybody else. Now, how many times have I interviewed a recruit, and I say, well, what stood out about Mississippi State? Well, the people, that's me and you. And it's because of the fact we have so many people from diverse backgrounds that can unite under one banner, and that is the maroon and white banner. And I want you guys to know how grateful I am to be back in Mississippi, and Mississippi was always in my heart. I used to always, you know, tell Dana, you know, when I die, bury me in Mississippi, you know, no matter where we're living. You know, this is where I'm from. And I'm proud to be a Bulldog. And when people speak negatively about Mississippi State, I take that stuff personal. Because it's who I am too. Devoted my professional career to this. You know, I grew up like many of you, coming to games, ringing the cowbell, you know, hoping for something great to happen. And sometimes it did. And those are the memories that make us. There's a reason that we keep coming back. It's because you never know when something's going to happen that's going to last forever. I mean, some of those days last forever. It's just like November 1st, 1980. Of course, millions claimed they were there. I really was. My first collegiate game. And I talked about that on the show one day. And then an old-timer reached out to me and said, "Hey, Steve, do you have a program from that day, that first game with you and your dad?" I was like, "No, I don't." He goes, "Well, I'd like to send you one." Who does that? Family does that. You know, it had been real easy for that guy to just go put it up on eBay and sell it to somebody, and maybe it would have meant something to them. But it means a lot to me, you know, having lost my dad at a young age, that now I have a program of the first Mississippi State game that I attended with my dad and my brother. How special is that? And so as I'm out traveling sometimes and you get away from the computer, and listen, it's been a challenging stretch, and it's going to be busy the rest of the year. But you guys are what makes it so special. You. You know, we live a great life, you know, and I don't just mean, you know, financially. You know, we certainly want you to come float at True Rest Float Spa. I mean, I took basically every dime I ever made writing books and pushed all my chips in the middle and set up this business for Dana and to make Starkville a better place. And so, yeah, we'd love for you to come float, 662-268-7601. Now people ask me all the time, it's like, you know, Steve, we'd love to come. What can we do to support you? Well, that's one thing you can do to support me. We took a big gamble with that, you know, because we love Starkville. We're Mississippi State people. You know, we're Starkville people. And this is home. And I love it when you guys come to visit. I love it when you come float. You're like, "Hey, Steve, we're just coming from out of town." And we got a lot of active members and people like that that come regularly, you know. And it's like, you know, these people have become, in many respects, part of our family, you know. And they come in and talk about, you know, some of the things that are going on in their lives, you know. And I think sometimes Dana's probably the perfect person to talk to when it comes to that stuff. But you have these moments of reflection sometimes. And for me, it's usually when I'm out on the road. It's me and the windshield and some rock and roll. And I listened to Bob Seger the other day. And for some reason, I kept putting on Like a Rock on repeat. You know, and he got to that part where he talked about, you know, "I still believed in my dreams." You know, and so my hope for you today is that you still have some dreams in life. And not just dreams of watching your kids or grandkids grow up and, you know, graduate and get married, but some dreams that are yours. Because you all have helped me make just about all of my dreams come true. And I've got some big dreams, you know, and pretty soon we'll have some announcements about the next books with an S. I think we've got a pretty good plan in place. We've got a few conversations we've got to have. But yeah, we're celebrating the dude. And I do think there's a good chance it goes to number one at some point next month. Maybe before then. We'll see. We'll get our debut number this week in Sunday's paper. But, you know, I'm going to do this as long as I can. You know, and I joke with people all the time. I don't know how long this is going to last. I mean, I could die tomorrow. That's a morbid way to look at things, Dave. Well, that's the reality of things. Yeah, I'm not guaranteed anything. But I'm going to do all I can for as long as I can for the coverage and the promotion of Mississippi State Athletics. And that's through Gene's page, and, you know, that's through the show and the books and everything else. But also, too, you know, we're not just Mississippi State people. We're Starkville people. And we could have opened a business anywhere, but we chose to do it here. Matter of fact, the people at True Rest Corporate were trying to talk us into doing it in Columbus or Tupelo. And I'm like, "No, we're doing it in Starkville, or we're not doing it at all. This is my home. It's not just where I live. This is my home. And it's your home, too. And it may not be the place where you get your mail or you keep your stuff, but Starkville's home to you, too. And so let's depend on each other. And, of course, you know, Gene's page is doing great, but we'd always love to have you. You know, if you're not a member, come be a member. And when you're in Starkville or you're living in Starkville, we'd love for you to come float. You know, I got books available all over the place, too. But the reality of it is more so beyond that stuff. You know, it's just the way that we treat each other. You know, when we're together, like I'm at Mistletoe Marketplace and I got people walking up just, you know, want to get a high five or a hug or, you know, a handshake, because it's the Mississippi State ties that bind. And no matter what we think about the direction of any particular sport at any particular time, let's never forget that we're Mississippi State Bulldogs. And I got some pretty incredible stories that I want to share as we get, you know, a bit deeper into the year. There's one in particular that I'm working on. Hopefully we can release that rivalry week. It's a very important story. It's going to blow your mind. But there were a lot of people that came before us to get us to this point. And it would be disrespectful of us under our watch and under our stewardship that we let things at Mississippi State run off the rails. We've had that happen, and we don't want that to be our legacy, right? Let's keep things moving forward. Yeah, let's support Mississippi State. Let's support our coaches, our student athletes, our administrators, our faculty. You know, let's support Mississippi State. Let's support each other. I'm going to get out of here. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.